Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 147 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we are going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment, starting with the finale of Invincible, then roll into Marvel, revealing the first looks at Eternals, some updated titles for Black Panther and Captain Marvel, as well as a little teaser. Jump into video game, discuss this latest deal between Sony and Discord, and then head into tech with a major divorce, some FCC subsidized internet, more deepfake news, some military tech, and space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and episode 147. And let's jump into this with a quick disclaimer that if you're a regular listener and audio quality is not quite there, it's because I am on some unfortunate travel and didn't come fully prepared, but we're still gonna get this one in. We're not gonna skip a week. So deal with it.
What's crazy is that we are actually in the same location and our recording will be actually shittier than our normal one when we're 3,000 miles apart.
Yeah.
Like that is actually totally our bad. We are not prepared for this whatsoever. We do solo recordings and we couldn't figure out how to do this in the same room together. So we have to do it on location in the same location.
So let's just jump right into it. Let's make it through some news here. And we'll begin with the Invincible finale just wrapped up. I am not quite at the end, so if you're worried about spoilers, you're not going to get them because I couldn't spoil that if I wanted to. But Invincible's finale finished up, and this is just a quick statement to go watch it.
Yeah, if you're not watching that show, you need to get on that. I also haven't watched the finale yet. I haven't had time. But I did read all the comics, so I kind of know what's going to happen. And with how well they've done this show up until the point, I know how good the finale is going to be. Like, I already know it. I remember reading the issue of that comic being an absolute shock and wonderment as to where they're going to go with this story. I am like so pleasantly surprised as to how well this show has been done. Like, DC has really set the bar on animated series, you know, as far as comic books have gone in the past. And Amazon said, fuck you, hold my beer. Like, you ain't gonna run away with this anymore. And in one good rendition and try, they killed it. They absolutely killed it.
Yeah, I think even from like episode one, and I didn't read as much of the comics as you did, but I did read some, and it's like, I don't know if you can live action or, you know, animated action, but bring to life the comic more true to its form. Like, from it really is just an extension of the original artist, the original cells, the original writing, as closely as it could be. So it's really just building off of the strength of what the story already was and then just ramping it up and making it much better.
It's almost as if there was an entire internet of people telling people what they wanted and somebody listened. Like, it sounds like such an obscure concept, but it's not like maybe a million people had tweeted, posted, recorded, YouTubed their desires for a quality comic book show being accurate to costumes and dialogue and actual, you know, storyline. And it's like somebody went in a meeting and said, hey, let's do that. Let's do what all these people that pay us money want to see.
Yeah, I'd really be curious, you know, because, you know, this is originally done by Robert Kirkman, who, you know, did The Walking Dead. And he was always I was a huge Walking Dead fan, both of the comics. And then when the show came out in the early seasons of the show, and he was really transparent about like how much creative control he had with the show and what he was really changing and stuff. And he would do regular talks. They did the AMC.
Yeah.
Talking Dead afterwards. And he would come on as a guest on it regularly and just talk about, I wonder how much control, and I haven't gone and looked at any interviews or anything. I don't think he's really done much of a press circuit for Invincible. I'd be curious at how much control he has. Like, is he really just driving this bus for Amazon and just saying like, nope, I already wrote the story, guys. We're just taking it.
Already plowed the road. You just got to ride the bike down the trail, pal. Like, just ride the bike down the trail. Like, and they did a really good job on casting voices, like a lot of familiar voices that you see the character and then you hear it and you're like, I know that like guy. Like it wasn't just a bunch of no names or a bunch of voice actors doing cheesy. You know, that's my thing. Like when it comes to anime, I'm subtitles all the way. I like if you're a dub fan, like go fuck yourself. Like honest to God, they take this great Japanese dialogue in these animes and they put the cheesiest, like childish voices they possibly could. And it sounds like if Beaver from Leave It to Beaver was going to do all the voices for a cartoon. Like they actually, you know, it's set in a teen setting, so you needed some kind of like youth to the voices, but they didn't go like full on like, hi, I'm a kid and I'm here to save the world. And like no, there's some depth to it. they kept the vulgarity in there. It was a lot of like gore and just like, man, it's, if you're not watching this show, you really, really need to start this like now, like right now. If you're driving, pull over, start this right now.
All right. Well, I think we've done enough fan love on Invincible.
I expect my Amazon check come in the mail.
let's go with some more fan love here. And it really, you know, this was Marvel made a video. Did you watch the video?
No, I didn't watch the video. I just seen the meme.
Yeah. So Marvel made a video. Which was their ode to the theaters, to movies. And in it really kind of sets the stage. It was really their excuse to set the stage for some of the upcoming releases and things that they have going. The video is interesting. I mean, it's worth watching. Coming out of it, though, there's a few things that obviously you could pull from. One, they give you you know, a little bit of clips, a little bit of scenes that you haven't necessarily seen in trailers and everything else. Really focusing heavy on their upcoming projects with Shang-Chi and Black Widow. They also give the name for Black Panther 2, being Black Panther Wakanda Forever. It's the first time you've seen that as the official title. They also gave a name for Captain Marvel 2 on there, as it just scrolled with the release date of November 11, 2022 of The Marvels. So apparently that's Captain Marvel 2, The Marvels, which, you know, Ms. Marvel, her show will debut before the release date of Captain Marvel 2. So anticipation that obviously she's going to be introduced in the show and then play into the movie.
So I'm looking at all the release dates right now. And what I find very interesting is they have the US release dates, the United Kingdom release dates, and then Australia release dates separate. And Australia gets a couple of these movies days before we get them. Like, what the fuck is that about? Like, it's not like it's the giant Chinese market of a billion people. Like, let's appease a billion people and make this money. What the fuck is Australia doing that they get fucking the Eternals 7 days before, 8 days before we get it, an entire fucking week? Like, if some Aussie throws a shrimp on a Barbie and spoils that fucking movie for me, I will lose my shit.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't look at all the dates. Apparently,
I'm staring at it right now, like in utter shock. Like they get Doctor Strange a day before we do. They get Eternals a week before we do. And then some of them, they have exact dates for like some of these movies. And then they just have the month. So like Thor: Love and Thunder, May 6th for the United States, May 6th for the UK, April for Australia, just April. No date. So we're going to give it to them earlier, and we're not even going to tell you how early. Like, it all depends. Like, what the fuck is Australia doing that they get this? Like, this actually really pisses me off because we're the major ticket holders, right? Like, we're the bread and butter of this fucking thing.
I'm actually, now that you've mentioned it, I have no way to not care about this. I would have been perfectly fine in life giving zero fucks about this and not knowing that this was a thing. But now that you've mentioned it, I probably will have to look into it.
Like, this is like,
either way, either way, whatever. The video was cool. It's 3 minutes. It's worth watching. You get some interesting scenes. You get the first look at, you know, the Richard Madden and, Kit Harington in Eternals. You get a quick little snippet of some Eternals, footage, not really very much, but at least you get to see the characters for a second. You get to see Angelina Jolie and, Kumail Nanjiani. So you get to see some characters. We get some updated release dates, some updated titles. In the end, 3 minutes, Marvel doing what they do. And at the very end, they actually scroll the the Fantastic Four logo. No date. No date.
No date. No anything. Just reminding you, we own them. Just reminding you
that, hey guys, we're gonna eventually do something with this, right? Like, I mean, it's
gonna, well, even on this, come. Even on this graph with Australia's bitch ass, it says Fantastic Four TBA TBA TBA. I'm surprised they didn't just throw a 2024 in Australia just to piss me the fuck off. I'm actually quite shocked about that, to tell you the truth. Just to piss me off.
It should have said TBA US TBA UK, and then yeah, late 2023 Australia.
Fucking motherfuckers. Oi! What I'm excited to see on this list, because then not only on the article we have linked in the show notes do they give you like the entire movie slate and expected release dates, which we all know the world sucks and could change at any moment. Like, I don't understand why we get really too excited about these things. If 2020 taught us anything, it's to know that none of this shit is written stone. They do give the Disney Plus series lineup and release date 2022, which I'm assuming is somewhere between Halloween and Christmas, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Yeah. that was on the plans, I think, last year, just out. Who knows what that's going to be?
So we taking bets on which is going to be more cringe, the Star Wars Holiday Special or the Guardians of the Galaxy. it's going to be really hard to beat that Star Wars Holiday Special.
Are you talking original Star Wars?
Yes, I am. The
I thought you were talking about this. You know, they just did a Lego Star Wars Holiday Special this last.
The holiday special that if Lucas finds a copy, we'll buy it off you for a sum of money and burn it right in front of you. You know, but I'm looking forward to the Moon Knight series. That's going to be dope as hell. I have all the Moon Knight comics. Again, thank you very much, Disney, for increasing my investments. Right now, everybody is all about the crypto, and I am sitting on a stack of paper just loving my returns on investments in my comic book collection. You said buy Bitcoin. I said buy Marvel 30 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still just, we got here in a week. What's 2 weeks? I don't remember the release date for Loki. You're looking at the list.
Loki's
right now.
June 11th.
What? I think it was May. Now I'm upset. Now you can get mad.
Yeah, no, it's June 11th. I'm staring at it right now. And then the What If series I was really looking forward to, that just says summer 2021. And then the rest of them just got years. Hawkeye 2021, Ms. Marvel 2021, Moon Knight 22, She-Hulk 22. Holiday Special 22, and then Secret Invasion. I'm almost upset that's not going to be a movie. Like, it's saying that it's going to be a Disney Plus series, which I guess is good because they can go more in depth, and it really is a story where you really need to dive deep. I just want to make sure that the production value is as high as it was for Falcon Winter Soldier and WandaVision.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for the show because I'd rather actually see it in the show. You could do it almost like it's a true like comic book arc in a show instead of a movie, which is so much more condensed. So you can really play with it a bit more. I think it's.
I'm just fearful because the amount of people that you would need involved in that movie almost kind of demands like a Infinity War budget.
No, it's purely going to be Secret Invasion, but it's just going to be a bunch deep of like faked. B-list characters and deep fakes.
I mean I get excited. I know DC just released one of these a couple weeks ago and we didn't even talk about it just because, yeah, well, enough said. But this is starting to get geared up just because we got three movies coming this year that should have way been in the chamber and we should have already seen. Like, how I still haven't seen Black Widow still blows my goddamn mind. Like, they were showing that to the NBA players during the lockdown. Like, yeah. Like there's a whole bunch of people playing basketball that have already seen this movie.
It's not even that I haven't seen it. It's how do I not know anybody who's seen it? Because I know people who still torrent and live that life of going out and finding and watching everything.
True that.
And I don't know anybody who's seen it.
Yeah, no, they did a good job of not giving out screeners to any of these things, like keeping it under wraps. But a lot of good Marvel stuff coming out. Go to the show notes, check out the link. Write a really like stern email to the Prime Minister of Australia, and I'll see you guys at the theater.
Yeah, let's figure that one out. But let's move on. Let's keep going. We've got some little bit of video game news, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We talked about Discord a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Microsoft potential acquisition of Discord for, what was it, $10 billion at the time?
Yep.
And Discord said no thank you to your potential $10 billion buyout.
Well, what's weird is that they said, like, no thank you, we want to stay an independent company. It's like when your girlfriend tells you it's not you, it's her, or like your boyfriend, like your significant other. It's like, no, it's not you, it's me. Like, no, it was you. It was 100% you. It was all you. Well,
what makes it, so I love this concept. Like, you know, what happened? These are where, you know, I've watched way too many like business drama shows and everything else. You've got me watching the Halt and Catch Fire show.
Such
now.
A great show. And PSA, watch that show too.
It is a great show. It's on Netflix.
Such a fucking great show. And it came out so long ago, and I watched it weekly, and I don't know anybody else who watched it. I finally got Sean to watch it. I'm glad you're watching now. That is a fucking great show.
It is
Halt
it is
and really Catch good. Fire on Netflix, folks. Do that shit.
I think I'm on season 3 of it now. It's great. And now, you know, maybe because I'm so into that show and just seeing how these things play out in the boardroom stuff, like, what came first?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Discord started talking to PlayStation and Microsoft, said, oh, hold on, guys. I got an offer for you. And, or did Microsoft try to team up with Discord, or Discord try to like pitch Microsoft, and Microsoft said, oh no, that's a good idea. You guys want to partner with us? We'll buy you. And Discord eventually said like, thanks, but no thanks.
Or it's like it's like the Ford versus Ferrari scene where Discord invites Microsoft in and does a lot of PR about the price just so they can get $15 billion out of Sony.
Right. Which one came first, right? Did they start talking to PlayStation to entice Microsoft and then end up just jacking up the price of PlayStation, you know? Or did they try to partner with Microsoft? Microsoft tried to buy them instead, and they said, no, we're going to stay independent. We're just going to partner with PlayStation. We're not interested in being bought out. We were looking for an enduring relationship here, and then we'll just bring it to PlayStation instead.
Well, I'm going to laugh when Sony, you know, because it says Sony's a minority investor in Discord now, and eventually, you know, Discord's going to get an IPO or something if they hit big, and then we're just going to get the nasty hostile takeover. You know, like, we'll see who laughs last. Like, we know that who's got the bigger pile of money in the long run. Like, don't ever forget that Xbox is owned by Microsoft, and they have more money than God.
Yeah, it's really interesting here on what's taking place. This competition continues between PlayStation and Microsoft. And I don't know, like I said, I'd read the book. I would listen to the documentary behind Discord's story here as they're trying to go from this really just, you know, super nerdy way for just gamers to talk to each other to now at a $10 billion valuation, turning down the money in order to partner with PlayStation over Microsoft. I'm sure it's an interesting story.
Well, to kind of like do a little speculation and fucked up segue to our next story, maybe Bill Gates is banging the Discord guy's wife. Like, how do we know?
And our next story is word that Bill and Melinda Gates today announced their upcoming divorce, and that as much as they've tried to keep things together over the last couple of years, they're ending their 27-year divorce or 27-year marriage. They're ending it now. And yeah, I don't know. It seems, you know, Bill Gates stepped down from Microsoft last year in 2020 to focus on the Bill and Gates, the Bill
foundation,
and Melinda
Gates
foundation. He stepped down last year. You know, maybe that was his attempt to save the marriage. Maybe he was just a, you know, asshole workaholic or something else, and he stepped down to focus on their thing. Or maybe, let's speculate some more here, maybe dude just needed to stay busy doing work. He stepped down, and now he's just in Melinda's face all day long. Yep, and she said, yep,
nope.
27 years
nope,
is enough?
Nope. Like,
I don't want you in retirement. I was good when you were traveling the world and busy every day.
Life's too short. Life is too short to be unhappy, especially when you're sitting on $100 billion. Life is too short. Don't worry, man. Bill is going to get a nice tan, grow some more body hair, put on a Speedo, buy a yacht, and be surrounded by more models than Leonardo DiCaprio. Like dude's going to be all right.
Over, under. What was it? Bezos' wife, Mackenzie, took him for, what, $30
billion? Yep.
Does Melinda now end up?
$57 billion.
Over under $30 billion.
$57 billion.
You're going fifty-seven billion.
I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now. Nerdsterdamus, envelope to my forehead like Johnny Carson. $57 billion. For those younger listeners listening, Johnny Carson was the host of the Tonight Show three hosts ago. Just so you know.
Just go to your grandparents' storage. You'll find a VHS.
Who are these people smoking indoors, roasting each other? Cancel those fools. No, I mean, I don't like to, like, I'm sure this is possibly a sad day for maybe one of them, if not both of them. I have to imagine, though, that, you know, I got divorced. My divorce wasn't horrible. You know, we were together 10 years. You either grow together or you grow apart. You know, and there's no reason to not believe that they both just got a shit ton of fucking money and they don't hate each other. I just don't want to live around you every fucking day anymore. Like, it could be as simple as that. Like, or he could have been diddling the nanny. You don't know. Like, we'll find out eventually, I'm sure.
I think eventually something will come out about it.
Oh, but some Saudi prince will hack his phone and leak that info. Fuck you, Bezos.
All right. Now that we're done with page six of the Nerd.
We know too much about these men's intricate life, personal lives. We know way too much.
We do. It won't stop us from talking about it. No.
I'm laughing. I'm having a great old time.
All right. I guess want to talk about some real news, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Let's do some real news.
Hey, I don't know if we can debate whether this is a good thing or bad thing or whatever, but the FCC this week revealed that they have a sign-up date coming on the day this episode releases. So May 5th, the FCC website for signing up for $50 per month broadband subsidies. So that way, if you meet a certain income threshold, you can get subsidies to receive money towards acquiring and maintaining broadband internet in your home, being subsidized by the federal government.
I don't like this. And I know that sounds surprising at first, but I'm going to explain myself why. Because Comcast is just going to raise their bill by $50 to pieces of shit. The pieces of shit are just going to raise their fucking internet rates by $50 the day this bill gets passed. Those horrible pieces of shit.
So the bills aren't even passed. and, you know, we've talked about this because this was one of the reasons why, like, Starlink was trying to get declared as broadband capable by the FCC. As the broadband threshold or whatever else, so that way they can be a part of things like this.
Well, still has to sign it. It's not like official, right?
No, the sign-up date for this rolls out on May 5th.
Oh, no shit.
On May 12th, you can start shopping. The website goes live for the rest of the information to actually like choose your broadband providers based off of your locality. And then it's supposed to roll out. This is not...
Which president signed it?
This was part of the latest COVID relief. Okay. So this is not permanent. The goal is to make this a permanent infrastructure type thing for low income families. Currently, it is just under the latest Biden COVID-19 response or stimulus to provide the internet. And I don't know, whatever, we do all kinds of things for low income people. This one I'm fine with.
Especially yeah, no, I'm not against it. I'm not against it for the fact that we're bringing internet to people that desperately need internet. Like if you're in a bad school, if you're in like this puts every kind of child and parent on a way level playing field as far as the rest of society, you know, when it comes to information and the ability to apply for jobs. It, like you can't live without the internet anymore. Like I don't give a fuck who you are.
Especially in a world where the government was able to just say, hey, everybody go home and just
so
right, for 12 months, go home and do school. We're going to shut everything down. Public education's at home. The tools have to be there for everybody, regardless of income level, then at a minimum. And then to exist at all and function at all, really, in society, yeah, you have to have internet. Like you just
so, but can't do but anything. I know that there are suburbs, towns, maybe even a few large cities that subsidize internet by being the provider themselves. So there are municipalities that provide internet to all their citizens through the government municipality. I would rather see the government invest whatever amount of money that this program has into providing
guaranteed subsidized income to Cox and Comcast and
that's whatever. What you know what I'm saying? Like this is like it's to me a handing a big bag of money to corporations, but giving it to a poor person to hand off to them first. Like, here, little Timmy, with your fucking holes in your socks and mismatched fucking shoes and clothes, give this pile of fucking money to that man in a suit over there, will you, for me? Like, to me...
I like that you set the low-income threshold to, like, Tiny Tim of Christmas Carol. Like...
like whatever, man. Like I just that's what it feels like to me. I know that some good will come of this, but I would way rather see an option. You know, like I've always said that the government's job is to provide the lowest level of like living in this country. When it comes to any welfare, when it comes to anything like that, we are just trying to set the bottom line that every American is going to live by. Like no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, we are never going to let an American fall below this line right here. And I don't think this necessarily does that. I honestly believe it's just another money grab. It's going to be taken advantage of, it not by citizens, but it's going to be taken advantage of by corporations, and it's not going to benefit the citizens as much as it could benefit if this money was just put into subsidizing local municipalities to provide internet to every citizen.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to correct this. Obviously, this is not the fix. This is not the societal change, especially when it's only tied to COVID relief, which means that even if you signed up for this subsidy, it's gone in 6 months from now. Like, it's not any more enduring than that. Right. So best case scenario, this is just a to wet the palate for future legislation if this is going to be something that's going to be deemed as a, like, permanent structure, you know, required infrastructure, required item on the same, you know, par towards like subsidizing energy and housing and internet, right? That all rolls up together for low-income families.
You know who I'm really happy for in this whole scenario, though? You know who I'm really happy for? That awkward 13-year-old boy that doesn't have to go to the library to watch you porn anymore. You, sir, are the true winner in this scenario. And I applaud you, and I look forward to your 6 months of not coming out of your room.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening to this and questioning whether you meet the low income threshold to get some government provided internet,
you don't.
Go check. You might. I don't know.
If you found this podcast and you're listening to it on anything, you don't. And you should probably sign up and give us a buck at our Patreon. Because we almost.
Go check. You might. But let's move on. Let's move on to a weird story. We've talked about deepfakes a lot.
I love talking about deepfakes. People should care about this.
This one is, I don't even know what to think about. It was a headline that came out on a couple different organizations. I picked this one up and put it in the show notes from Engadget as the tech blog there. But deepfake satellite imagery is being created and used, and like all these articles are posing about how it can pose significant and serious military and political challenges. And it, really what it's about is in universities, they're testing using deepfake technology in order to take like a gridded out map or whatever else, Google Maps. It's essentially like if you went on Google Maps and you were just looking at Street View and you saw the shapes of the streets or whatever else, and then all of a sudden you decided, hey, I just want to see what the actual overhead looks like, and you press that satellite button, that image that came up could be deepfake. Because that's essentially what they're doing. They're just taking the road maps and then they're applying Singapore level high rises to that same street. And then they're applying Seattle based, you know, buildings to that. And then they're applying whatever. So they're showing that they can take whatever gridded system it is and then apply deepfake buildings and shrubbery and greenery. They could just pretty much tell it what to produce. That way, when you transition to satellite,
the military acts like this is, or the article acts like this is only a kind of like military kind of threat. And I'm gonna drop a little knowledge on some of our listeners that might not know this. Because I'm an electrician and I do a lot of permit work and I work with villages all the time and village inspectors and things like that, I can verify right now that if you have an illegal swimming pool or a fire pit in your backyard and you think your neighbor called on you and reported it and that's why you got that ticket, I'm here to tell you right now that they pay people in the village hall to sit on Google Maps and look at people's and look for swimming pools and fire pits and decks in people's backyard and then check if they ever pulled a permit for it. And if they didn't, they come and get your ass. So right now, if you got an illegal pool in your backyard, you might want to deep fake your backyard. you might want to deep fake your illegal deck.
This is where I think this, okay, the deep fake satellite imagery, I guess it's cool and it could have some weird uses, but the reason why I think it's just such a stupid topic about how it poses a serious like military and political challenges. It's like, what? Like, Google's not going to get fooled by these. Like, Google's not going to throw in somebody else's images into their Google Maps, right? Same as, like, the military is not using
Google.
Somebody else, they're not even using Google, let alone somebody else's random generated map on their computer. Like the whole,
they got their own satellites. They got their own satellite array.
Yeah. The article talked about like, some country that wants to protect their bridges or pretend that a building, it doesn't exist. They could send false image data to people. It's like, who are they sending it to? Because like, if I receive my targets, like my bad guy targets and the bridges that I want to destroy, I promise you, I'm not going to ask that country that I'm fighting for their images.
Or if you're that country, just send them already blown up. Like, okay, you already got us. Like, yeah. we're so bad. Yeah. Like, so sorry.
to me, like, that is such a stupid concept that, like, this poses a major military thing because military relies on satellite imagery and this would be faked and trick them into thinking, no, they're not using your satellite. They're not using your images.
Well, I guess the fear is that if China gets so sophisticated that they can hack our satellites, but if that's the point, then we got a lot more to worry about than deep fake fucking images on Google Maps. You know, like that's
why I think the text interesting to talk about deep fake satellite imagery. Okay, I guess it's cool to some degree. But I don't know. Ultimately, I really don't think like they're going for a real leap saying that we're going to have like political ramifications and military ramifications because of this technology.
I don't mind them bringing more awareness to deepfakes though. Like this is the wrong way to go about it. But if it gets one or two more people to worry about deepfakes and I don't have to root for their mom in a porno, I'm good. Like I'm good. Like let's care about these things. Let's be aware. Let's not just watch the, Phil Hader fucking deepfakes and Tom Cruise deepfakes and get a good chuckle. Let's recognize that this is a problem. It's not going to be this problem per se, but it's going to be a problem. And let's put a little concern behind it. I'm okay with that.
All right, let's move on. So we've talked about serious threats to the military. Let's talk about an actual threat to the military, an actual interesting thing with military new tech that was demonstrated this last week. And what we get is the U.S. Navy demonstrated their use with these drone swarms. Essentially, they're missiles that fire, and then as the missile is flying, it's really just holding this large drone that then opens up its wings, is capable of gliding and controlling itself, and they can be fired and controlled as a swarm, meaning that they can all target and move in concert with each other by the direction of a controller. And then they use this to target and destroy something. So this is a technology that can be used against ships out in the water, can be used against moving vehicles, can be used really against any kind of military target. And it's an interesting technology that's been in development probably for a very long time. I've seen videos and heard of like drones being used and weaponized by the military for a while. This is like the first like public one that the Navy shows and demonstrates it. It clearly uses swarming drone technology to destroy things.
Why do I feel like every time we do a story like this, that there's some conspiracy theorist from 20 years ago going like, I fucking told you so. I fucking told you. I was on this shit 20 years ago. Fucking drones, fucking micro nanobots are going to fly. And like, I just feel like every time we do like this crazy story that is like commonplace for us right now, that there's just some guy, some gray haired dude with a great big gray beard that was screaming about this shit 25 years ago that just feels totally vindicated right now.
Yeah. I mean, probably there's always somebody with the conspiracy theory that thinks that all this stuff is in existence. I mean, the
truth is, yeah. Broke clock is right twice a day, right?
Yeah. The truth is, the technology has been progressing in this direction for a long time. So, I don't know. We'll see how this shapes out.
Speaking of like old tech, this really has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just think it's a funny story. As I was looking through photos today for you know, our family gathering that we're going to have, I was going through big box of photos and my 6-year-old daughter goes like, Daddy, why are all those pictures on paper? And I never wanted to punch my daughter in the face so hard ever in my life. I was like, wow, like, holy shit. I didn't even know what to tell her. I didn't even know what to say to her. I was like, well, there was a time where people had cameras and you had to take pictures and bring them to people to print them out. They're just on your phone, Dad. Like, I was like, I didn't. You're smart enough to know that these things are weird, but still young and stupid enough for me to not be able to explain to you why it's not weird. So I'm like in this gray area of just frustration of feeling old as shit and not being able to defend myself against a 6-year-old. Yeah.
I think I have these conversations with my kids all the time, and I can't remember the last one, but it does blow my mind how fast technology has changed since we were kids. Because there's very few things that I could think of when I was a kid that I looked at my parents and thought, like, oh, why are you guys doing that? Yeah. Like, even, like, rotary phones. Like, it's like, no, we still saw
it. We still got it. Yeah, we still got it. We got it. Some of them had buttons you push. Some of them you had buttons you turn. You're like, it was okay. Like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But like, no, in our lifetime, like, things have just become obsolete. Like, it's just, it's unfathomable,
bro. I used to have to get up off the couch and turn a knob to change the TV channel. Yeah. Okay, like I vividly remember that, the little knob in the middle of the channel thing just to tune it in, that like just to hit that fucking sweet spot. None of these kids know, you fucking spoiled bastards, you don't get it. Like, Gen X is like, we are the most awkward generation, I swear. Because I'm smart enough to work all the current technology, but I'm old enough to remember all the ancient shit. So I just like float in this limbo of like, I'm cool enough to be with you guys, but I should feel old enough to be with these assholes too. If I say yeet, does that bring me back to the other side? Like, hey, kids, I got a cell phone. Skirt!
All right, let's talk about more technology that blow us away here. And next story is, not only have we gotten to an advancement of robotics, that's fascinating, but we've gotten to a point where we're actually just firing them, too. And NYPD fired their DigiDogs. So they had Boston Dynamics Spot robot dogs. That were working with the NYPD that had 360-degree cameras on it that were going around neighborhoods as part of this test program. And the NYPD retired them, fired them, off the force, turn in your badge and gun, and go home.
Instantly, when you said that, like, a big old picture of Danny Glover popped in my fucking head. I was fucking Murtaugh. Like, the minute you said that, like, it was just like, Danny Glover. I was like, oh shit. I couldn't help it.
Yeah. So, yeah, New York City, they retired this, and it really just comes from just public backlash. Just some people really keyed into it, like Ocasio-Cortez, she, AOC, really like hammered New York City for doing this and talking about how, you know, just putting too much technology behind the police and spending too much money on the police, and it's better spent other places. And that's whatever. I guess that's the debate that could be had.
So this is my frustration. This is my frustration with all that is I'm not trying, like, no political leanings at all. I'm just going to say, you know, when AOC makes a statement like this, like, we literally have like a police entity that literally cannot see race, color, creed, LGBT. It literally cannot give a shit about any of that. And you want to fire that one too? You want to fire that one too? Like what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's not like this dog was weaponized or
they had rocket launchers on him. Not yet.
Not yet. But ultimately, they just came with a bunch of outcry about, you know, government spending and police spending and whatever else. And it's really just a bad time for the police to increase their budget anywhere, even in this regard, which actually probably over time would reduce spending because it would increase their visibility and range. It costs less money than human, even though it does cost about $70,000. It costs less than a single cop.
Why do I feel like that Amtrak bomb robot is that like puppet meme that just is like looking forward and looking sideways at the same time right now?
And that's what, you know, that's what these things are supposed to be designed for, right? The spy robot is supposed to go into dangerous situations. It's supposed to be able to go gather information and record it and send it back. It's not like it was being used in an autonomous way. It was being used with human remote control operation. So in the end, the technology has now been killed from the NYPD because of public outcry about like the fiscal spending and the ramping up and providing greater technology to the police. In the end, like it's just another interesting use of the dog, and it's probably not going to go away. You know, we see it continue to get adopted by companies like SpaceX and using it to inspect unsafe areas. It's been used by other bomb units across. Like, and the interesting thing is, like, this DigiDog costs less money than the old school bomb robots that you see that are like the Johnny Five.
So I'm saying the Amtrak bomb robot, man. Yeah.
Those things cost so much more money than the DigiDogs, but because they've been around for a long time, people aren't looking at that as like, oh, this is the new greatness of military technology getting brought to the police.
Like, oh, that's so just the bomb dog. That's just the bomb robot. It's all good.
Exactly. Like, so people just don't like this really fell to just a bit of uneducated public sentiment in the sense that like this is actually a cheaper version. This is actually
and this is also where I politically get frustrated because it's not like they can just go to the AOCs and be like, no, actually look, we're saving money. Like in the long term, we're actually saving money by getting rid of these expensive ass Amtraks and putting a bunch of these bomb robot dogs. Yeah, but it feels expensive.
but it feels
expensive, so we don't really want it. The fuck out of here.
What I did stumble across looking at this, and it talked about it not being weaponized, and it talked about how people don't necessarily believe that the police will never weaponize it. And what I came across was apparently I didn't pay much attention back in the day, but apparently I think it was like 2014.
They put a gun on that bomb robot. I seen it.
I mean, weird people have done weird things, but like no government agency has done that yet, not publicly at least. in 2014, apparently there was or 2016, sorry, the Dallas Police Department put an actual bomb on a bomb diffusing robot to deliver a bomb and blow up a suspect. So like this is only in Texas, right? God love you. So apparently in 2016 a bomb squad actually put a bomb on a bomb diffusing robot to deliver it and drive it into where a suspect was holed up to blow up and kill a suspect. And like that is the fear, right?
I know. That's what's driving the fear. Right now, my head is just posing like every stupid scenario I can make up with, like the we lit the fire extinguisher on fire and threw it at the fucking thing. Like, how many scenarios can I come up with like that? You know, we put a bomb on the bomb diffusing robot to blow up somebody. Like,
so.
What kind of?
When I came across that, I thought, like, okay, well, maybe now all these people not trusting the police with robots to not weaponize them. Okay, well, you've actually got at least one example of it happening. So,
I don't know where I saw it, but just this last week, I was watching a video of one of the Boston robot or dynamic robots, and it was an updated story. I don't know why I didn't share it in the outline. It must not have been like that good, but the video associated with, like, bro, they were booting the shit out of this dog. Like they were doing everything they could to knock it over. And one dude actually did kick it so hard that it did tip over, and it just rotated its elbows, popped right back up like it was nothing, went trotting along. And then, like, it was literally like a circle of like eight people just booting this thing over and over again. I see that's how Skynet gets started, folks. Y'all, like, that's like, yeah. Y'all won't play too much. Like, y'all won't keep fucking around. When they come after your ass, like, I remember this shit, and that's why.
Well, let's move on to our last little topic here. And that's some space news. We've got some space news with Blue Origin starting to sell. So on the day that this releases, for all you, yeah, we talk about that. We already gave an article for our low income.
So for our early Dogecoin investors, for all our early Dogecoin investors, here's a story for you.
We got a story for you here, and that's on May 5th, the day that this episode comes out. Blue Origin.
You could actually take your Dogecoin to the moon.
to lower the orbit.
Okay, sorry.
And not even. You got to pay an extra. Yeah, that ticket isn't out yet. But on May 5th, Blue Origin has announced that they will start to sell the first ticket or tickets for Blue Origin's New Shepard space tourism flights, which is designed to fly up into a suborbital pattern. So it'll fly just below getting into an actual orbital distance, and then come in a controlled descent or crash back down to Earth. And, you're going to get to fly up. You're going to get to break the atmosphere. You're going to get to see some space. You're going to get to a suborbital position. And you're going to be able to float around with real zero gravity, with no perceived gravity for a period of time. And then you're going to come back down to Earth. And these tickets are going to start being sold on May 5th. So the day you may be listening to this, it's either came out today or it will be coming out. Truth is, it's probably already sold out by the time you're listening to this. I imagine there's plenty of people with money who have already got their assistance on top of this. But it's cool. Space tourism, we were always talking about how the need for making space being a profitable endeavor is what will drive space exploration in the future.
Well, so the same day that these tickets go on sale, or maybe a day or two around, but very close to this day, tickets for Neil deGrasse Tyson go on sale for the Chicago Theater. And I know a bunch of us in the Cantina group are all talking about getting tickets and going. And then I've already envisioned myself rocking my Nerd Cantina shirt to the show, rushing up to the microphone to get in line to ask a question. And if I so happen to get up to that mic, the question I will ask him is how he feels about the commercialization of space being the main driver of information or innovation rather than government spending, government funding, and doing it for the good of society. How does he feel personally about the privatization of space being the main driver and profit motives being the main driver of space innovation rather than human, you know, just discovery and curiosity and government funding? That will be my question.
And I think I know his answer.
I don't give a fuck.
I just want the information. I just want the science. I just want
human. Well, I'd hope he would go into detail about some of the downsides of profit motives being the driver of space innovation. Because if there's profit motives involved, then you know there's cost cutting that's always involved. One thing that comes with maximizing profits is always cutting costs. Is that good for space innovation? And is that good for science? Like, I'm hoping he takes the question seriously and doesn't give me I don't give a fuck. I just want the space. I want all of the space. Really gearing up to be able to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, it's interesting that these tickets are going out. Let's see on May 5th what the cost of the tickets are. We don't know what they're going to cost.
You think our boy Neil got one? You think he, like, no?
I mean, he should get a free one, honestly. Like, you want some good publicity for it? Let Neil deGrasse Tyson go up there for free. But No, they talk about it's going to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars range for these tickets,
which is peanuts to a lot of people. It's peanuts to a lot of people.
Those of you out there who might listen to us because you've just got a lot of time on your hands and disposable income.
Miss Gates and Miss Bezos are just going to have some Sisterhood of the Pants Club up in that motherfucker, and they're just going to fucking laugh that all their husbands with their space endeavors, fuck you, we beat you up here, you small weenie bald-headed bastards.
Do you think Bezos goes up?
I don't know, like, not the first one, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, his insurance company won't let him go.
I was going to say, like this company should, like, for the first flight, put, like, the eggheads on the flight, like Neil and everybody that's really innovated space and made space a cool thing for people to do. And then I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, I don't want all them brains going on the first one. Like, I think maybe we should spread them out, like, just in case.
I've decided to derail this conversation.
that's a change.
it's only because I'm looking at the article from the show notes and the image of the Blue Origin. And could you design a more penis-like rocket than what is Blue Origin?
I think the only one who could is Beeple's.
Yeah, so that's where I was going to derail. I knew it. So first, let's talk about Blue Origin here. Like Starship is one giant cylinder.
That is a dong.
Everything is the same, right?
That's a whole dong.
Blue Origin has a cylinder, but clearly a head, right?
Clear dong. Clear dong. Nice fuel. Vein going down the middle. Yeah. Clear dong. Clear dong, man.
It's 100%.
Not Jewish either. Not like, clear dong.
So, go check out the article.
It's in the show notes. Click the link.
check out images of the Blue Origin rocket, which was from a test flight a little while ago, a couple weeks ago. They did it. It looks way too much like a flying penis.
And for those that didn't get our Beeple's joke, CNBC this week gladly shared the artwork of a famous NFT artist, which was literally a giant dong factory.
The title of it. They put the title on there, which is Dick Milking Factory. And it's like, I mean, I saw...
With all the things that offend people in this society, how is that not offensive to somebody? Offensive to somebody?
And what amazing, that thing still sold for $100,000 minimum. And... For a digital copy,
I told you when we saw the story. Okay. I got Mark Cuban money. I owned the Dick Milking NFT. Like, I'm sorry, like, just to say I have it, and I'd buy the biggest TV. I'd take it and I'd put it on, like, on a billboard on a highway. Like, I own the rights to it. Yeah. Like, I can do whatever I want with it. Here's my Dick Milking NFT on the local fucking highway.
Again, if I had that kind of money, I would buy it just to awkwardly bring it to friends' houses. Yeah. Just to, like, bring that Beeple frame and just leave it behind in a friend's house for a week.
Oh, God.
But that's art, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's art, to make just a starship-sized, veiny penis with a machine on it, milking it, apparently. That's it. This is why I'll never be... No matter what generation of art you're talking about, it's over my head.
Well, this is what makes, like, it's just frustrating, because it's like, how I could have thought of that. I'm quite positive. Yeah. I probably drew that in fifth grade at some point. Like, I'm quite positive there might be a rendition of that in a spiral notebook.
There have been phases from in my life
from 1991. Yeah.
For sure. There are times in my life where, Dick Milking would have been a priority of mine. And I would have thought of something like that. It's crazy.
This is where we're at in the world. This is where we're at. We fire robot cops. and we buy dick milking paintings. Like, this is the society we live in.
And oddly enough, to go back, I said I was going to derail it. I'm going to bring it back.
Oh, we're coming back, folks.
The dick milking painting is about the cost of a ticket to space on Blue Origin. So that's where we're at. Yeah. That's life today.
Yeah.
So
you could go to lower orbit, or you could own a giant picture of a dong. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever you're into, man. I'm not here to judge. I'm just reporting it. I'm just an objective observer. That's all I am.
All right. And
that's the 1 hour mark. I think we're good.
Yeah, that's the 1 hour mark.
I'm watch Invincible. Check out a dick milking NFT. Do some homework. Have a good time, folks. It's been a week. All right.
And I'm pretty sure we set the record for the most time the phrase dick milking has been said in a 3 minute span. For sure.
I don't know. I didn't count how many times they said it on CNBC, so I don't know where the bar was set. But they definitely hit the most ears with dick milking. Like we may have said it more, but they put that image in more people's brains than we ever will.
For sure. All right. With all that said, hey, thanks for listening. Again, hey, forgive us for my lack of audio quality or whatever. But we got Zen. Hopefully you were entertained. Hopefully you learned a few things. And if you did, hey, still share this episode with somebody else. Join over in the conversations over at the Cantina Facebook group. Join us at thenerdcantina.com/community. And let's keep having a good time.
Yep, it's you know the drill, folks. We could always use a buck. There's always a dollar tier over at the Patreon. I'll send you a sticker. Dollar goes a long way here at the podcast. You'd be surprised.
All right, until next time, nerds. Talk to you next week.
See ya.